God does not need our praise. He just wants it. He commands us to do it because it makes our lives better.
Where are we?
In the
Bible!
Let's begin at the beginning, shall we? The Bible begins in the Old Testament, written around 3,500 years ago. The first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, are known as the Pentateuch, or Books of the Law. The next 12 books, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, woo, that's a lot. These are known as the historical books. This brings us to the books of the Bible known as the wisdom literature. It starts with Job and then into a collection of 150 lyrical poems known as the Psalms.
Today is all about praise. That's right, praising God. And I'm gonna give you a spoiler alert. It's actually not for him, it's for us. I'm Hannah Driscoll, and we're gonna be exploring Psalm 150 today, which has a whole lot to say about praise, and it even talks about all the ways to praise him, but even in dance. And there's a song, I know that you know it, that when it plays, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, I gotta sing it. Let's do it right now. That sunshine in my pocket, I got that good soul in my feet, I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes up off it, moving so phenomenally, the room unlocked, the way we rock it, so don't stop. Man, I wish it didn't have to stop, because that song changes the whole world for me and my mood. And today we're going to talk about how praise might just change your perspective and maybe even your life. Let's hop to it. So by now, maybe you figured out that I work at Crossroads Church. Some people might give me a title, but others might just say I'm in ministry. But for real, y'all, I'm just a church professional. That sounds a little weird, right? Professional churcher. But it's no weirder than a professional hot dog eater or a professional tag your it player. And I wish I had heard about that one on career day, because I gotta be honest, I might not be here. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so speaking of professions, today we're gonna look at some professional praisers. That's right, the writers of the Psalms, they were praisers, people who express approval and admiration for God. And I'm not talking about your normal worship leader who you may have seen sing on an episode like this, or maybe even your favorite worship artist if you have one that you're thinking about right now. Now, though these folks are paid to lead worship in the form of music for God's glory, the psalmists who wrote the Psalms were round-the-clock temple praisers. I'm talking the writers and the people discussed in the book of Psalms. They were the Denny's, the IHOP, and the superior Waffle House of praise. They never shut down. I'm talking 24/7 praise was their full-time job in the temple. And that's exactly the way that King David wanted it. See, David was the king of Israel at this time, and he's often credited with writing many of the Psalms. David loved praise. And so he spent a lot of time and energy and money dedicated to praising God, specifically through music. And so David, the professional praiser, writes this Psalms, Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Here we have almost the most perfect litany of words. It tells us all the information a journalist could ever want. It tells us what? Praise. It tells us where? In the sanctuary and basically everywhere because of firmament. It tells us why, for his mighty acts and his excellent greatness. It tells us who, everything that hath breath. And it spends most of the time talking about how, with all of the instruments and everything that you have. So as you can tell, the writer is adamant about praise. He's encouraging everyone to do it, even encouraging them to do it loudly. And this is because he understands something. Praise is a command. In Hebrews 13 and 15, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, and confess his name. And in Isaiah 43 and 21, God commands us, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. This is a commandment. No, not like the Ten Commandments, but it's something that Jesus asks us to do in Scripture over and over. And so cue the entrance. That's us. We're the people he's commanding. If you're following Jesus, he's calling us to praise him. And if you're not following Jesus, he's inviting you to stick around and see why he's worthy of the praise that he commands. Now, some of you might be wrongfully thinking, ugh, how pompous, how incredibly needy for God to require praise of us. What kind of God demands that everything with breath praise him? I'm calling you out because that's a really good question. C.S. Lewis once wrote, a man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. That's a powerful conclusion. See, what he's saying is God's command to praise him is simply based on truth, the truth of who he is, and he does not need us to make it true. Here's the reality. God does not need our praise. He just wants it. He's not like man who selfishly desires praise. The praise does not make his head get big like ours, and it doesn't make him narcissistic because desire and command are not the same thing. He commands us to do it because it makes our lives better. You might not believe me. I'm going to tell you how.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Andy.
And Andy! Andy, you're here!
Yes.
We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Some of you may know, some of you may not. Andy is a new member of our team. He's actually been around for a long time, pastoring our Dayton community, and I couldn't be more excited. He's joining the online team to be our pastor. We're super excited to have you, man.
Hey. Really excited to be here and really excited to be here with you guys. This is not just content, this is a community of people that we are building all over the country and the world. I'm super glad to be a part of this team with you all.
Super excited to have you. Who picked out your outfit for the shoot today?
You know, my six-year-old has more involvement in her wardrobe selection than I do in mine. So this was 100% my wife. Thank you, Rachel.
Awesome. Yes, thank you, Rachel. Outfits aside, I want to assure you that whether you call Crossroads home, whether you're just checking it out, your giving goes a long way in allowing us to do videos just like this one.
That's right. You can get it at crossroads.net/give. Now let's get back to the message.
When most people read Psalm 150, the most memorable part is the list of instruments. And so they have a whole bunch in there, but I imagine it's some stuff like, it does say stringed instruments, you know, if this has strings, or the tambourine's supposed to praise him with that, or praise him with, you know, the clown thing, whatever. All the psalmist is trying to suggest is that we use whatever we can to praise God. And people have written countless songs about this very portion of scripture. My personal favorite is called Anthem of Praise by Richard Smallwood. It's pretty dope. Check it out if you have the time. But the reason there's so many iterations of music on this one portion of scripture is because it's clear, it's instructive, and it's downright fun. It's saying bang the cymbals and voila, you're doing it. You're praising God. But here's the thing. Some of us might not actually play any of these instruments or even own a cymbal. Was that scripture not for us? It's actually the opposite. See, the writer, he lists all these instruments not because he's making a comprehensive, all-inclusive list of how to praise God, but because he's trying to encourage us to use whatever we have to praise God. Why? Well, because praise is the proper response. Wait a minute, Hannah, what do you mean? All right, let me break it down for you. In a stadium or an arena, when a player scores a point, what happens? Woo! Exactly, the crowd loses it And when the Warriors get their ring later on, I'll be losing it too, as if I won. Now, why? Well, because society deems that this is the proper response. If the team gets praise, it's in that moment that we know they deserve praise because they got a point, and that behavior is rewarded. So if the proper response is for a mere mortal who scored a point is to scream and to dance and to shout with excitement, I'm gonna challenge us here a bit. What's the proper response for a God of the universe who has all power? And this is what the writer is saying. He's saying, pull out all the stops. Do whatever it is that you have to do to praise God. Literally go crazy. And yet, sometimes it honestly feels like the church, the real praisers, the people who should be the loudest, are the quietest. Now, I'm not talking about just singing or shouting, because maybe singing in church is not your thing, and maybe you don't own any of these instruments, and that's okay, because praise doesn't actually require singing or even a sanctuary for that matter. The writer tells us to praise God in the sanctuary and in the mighty firmament, which just means sky or heaven. And so, yes, there is a corporate praise at church or worship, and that's really good, and it can happen in a sanctuary, and that's wonderful. But the better thing is that when we choose to accept Jesus, he actually makes us into a sanctuary and he dwells with us. So we don't actually need a sanctuary to praise. We just got to start doing it. And even more so, the writer says, give God praise in the firmament, which just means under the open sky. So you can praise God wherever there's a sky. See, the world, they should not be outdoing us in praise. Praise is glorifying God with all that you have and even whatever you have. So it might mean telling a friend about Jesus. It might mean sharing your story, or it might mean actually leaning into worship through music or through giving. It might mean starting a prayer schedule, posting praises around your house so you don't forget them. It might mean spending time discipling someone. See, the writer's goal was never to give us an all-comprehensive, inclusive list, even though that list is awesome. His goal was to tell us to use every single thing that we have to praise God, because it is the proper response. Now, maybe you're on board. Maybe you're like, okay, Hannah, finally, it's the proper response. I get it. But I don't actually know where to start. Well, the writer invites us to praise God for his mighty acts and his excellent greatness. He tells us where to start. And that just means that we should praise God for what he's done for us. We should look around and think about all the good things that we have in our lives, and maybe even for those around us, and we should give God praise for what he's doing, what he's gonna do, and for what he's done. See, what I love, though, is the next part, because it means that we should praise God for who he is. We should praise God for his excellent greatness, and that should just be enough for us to praise him. See, I think the writer was actually wise to include this, because if I'm honest, God doesn't always do what I want him to do. He's not some mighty magician who, when he gets praise, he bends to our every whim. That's not how it works. Sometimes I even need to lament, and I don't actually want to praise God. Now, see, if I only praised him when he did something that I wanted, it sure would be really, really difficult to get out of lament and to praise him at all right now, because the current situation in America is so messed up with all the gun violence, all of the racially motivated massacres and murders, all of the poverty, the epidemic that seems to only get worse, and even the capital C church that seems more interested in titles and fame than they are in love and mercy. See, when I think about that, I'm gonna be honest, y'all, and maybe it's not okay to be honest, but it seems impossible to praise God for what he's done, because he's not doing what I want him to do. If I only praised God for his mighty acts, I would constantly sit and lament. And even though Jesus, he wants to hear our lamentations, he does. We are meant to praise him. See, but when I think about who God is, a worthy God whose very nature is good and true and loving, even when I can't see it or feel it, I can praise him. Because of who he is will always be greater than what he's done. And it requires praise from us, his people. So if we don't need a place, we don't need this perfect praise tool of instrument, we already have a good reason, what is it that we need to praise God? See, there's only one requirement for praise. That is breath. And it's this bare minimum requirement that's so important because it lets us know that there's no fancy requirement. You don't need accolades to praise God. You don't need a certain position to praise God. You don't need to be qualified or have the perfect sound. Your voice can be shaky. The first time you share your story, you might leave out some parts, and all of it is okay because God just wants you to praise Him. He loves to hear it. And now He's not asking you to praise Him or commanding you to praise Him because He's narcissistic. I've got to remind y'all, this is for us. Praising God does something in us. Recently, I was traveling back from Zimbabwe and I was in an airport and, had to travel. So I was in an airport. Everyone looked around me upset. Everyone was like angry. And of course, traveling internationally comes with all the woes of traveling internationally. Time, it was boring, I was tired, I was hungry. Add COVID to all of that, and it easily is one of the most frustrating nightmares I've ever had. So as I was standing in line, after standing there for over 30 minutes, might I add, I just started dancing. There was no music, and I looked crazy because there was no music even in the vicinity, even in the overhead playing. And honestly, I didn't care because the dancing was making me feel better. It actually made me stop complaining and it felt good to just move. And then I started to notice that others around me started to smile and even laugh. As one lady asked me, she said, "Where is the music?" I simply replied, "It's wherever you make it." See, what dancing did for me that day is what praise does for us. Although we are attributing glory to God and we should be doing that, praise improves our lives and the lives of those around us. And that is what the writer forgot to tell us. See, he made the perfect litany, but he forgot to mention that the command of praise makes our lives better. Praise is God's invite to dance just for a little while we're in the airport. See, it causes us actually to align ourselves with him, to reflect on the expression of his character. See, the writer left out that praise is our Father's way of cheering us up and inviting us into joy because it makes us feel like King David when he said in Psalm 31 and 19, "How great is your goodness." Praise makes us reflect on what God has done for us and for others. It builds our faith. It gives us hope because we look back at the God of the Bible and we realize God doesn't actually change. And if he doesn't change, if he healed before, he can do it again. If he provided before, he can do it again. If he made a way, he can do it again. Praise does all of this for us while we glorify him. And finally, praise does something for us that we could never quite ourselves do if we just thought about it. Praise invites us into submission. When we praise God, we acknowledge his authority as our Father, as our Lord, as our place under him. Praise does all of that. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to figure out your praise tools. Maybe it's not an instrument. Maybe it's not singing. But God wants us to praise him. And if we don't, Jesus said that the very rocks will cry out because that's just how worthy God is of praise. Now, since I don't want any rocks to start talking around me, that means we all better get to praising. So this week, this month, today, I want you to focus on praise. Focus on lifting up Jesus with your words and with your actions. This is something to be acted upon, Psalm 150. Even if we don't have any of the instruments that are listed in that scripture, we just got to use what we have. So if you have a voice, whisper your praises to God throughout the day. If you know you need to start singing in church more, you need to do it. If you dance, dance. Dance and praise God. When I was younger, the older mothers in my church would say, "Hey, if I can't say a word, I'm just going to wave my hand." So if all you have is a praise wave, just wave. If there is something that you know you can do to praise God more in your life, do it, because it's our proper response. And God invites us into praise because it's for us. In a moment, we're going to go into a time of singing that is actually praising God and lifting him up through song. You can join into that if that's your thing. But if it's not, I want you to actually sit and reflect on what's being said. Praise is all of us just saying our words to God, our affirmation and approval for what he's done. I'm going to model it right now in what it looks like in prayer. It might feel weird at first, but you have to know that once you start doing it, it changes things and God is happy with it. So I'm going to pray for us and then let us listen to a time of music together. God, just thank you so much for everything you've done. We have breath and that is what qualifies us to praise you. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. God, you are a just God. You're holy and you're awesome. Thanks for everything you've done in my life. Thank you for giving me breath to praise you, the opportunity to speak to your people, to encourage them to praise you, Lord. You have something waiting for us on the other side. I ask that you would just bless us as we go into this time of worship. Bless us as we consider what it means to praise you in our own lives over the next weeks or months. Help us to develop a lifestyle of praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today. Hopefully you were able to get something out of it going deeper in the book of Psalms.
That's right. This entire series, it's all connected with an initiative that our whole church has been doing this whole year called the Bible Challenge.
Correct. We as a community are in the Crossroads app through the week reading and diving deeper into scripture. I'm in there. Brian is there. You're in there.
Yeah. I try to do it at least 3 times a week to really make it a habit in my life. And if you want to join us, all you have to do is download the Crossroads app and get started.
Hey, that's all we've got today. We will see you next time on Crossroads.
And let's be honest, right? Life right now feels like a never-ending loop of microphone feedback. You know that screeching sound? Yeah, it feels like everything is like that. There's a chapter in the book of Psalms that has unlocked for me how to drown out all of that chaotic noise and instead find something that sounds better, something we can actually vibe to in our life. And today, I want to show you where that is. I want to show you how exactly that can work.